Who then can be saved? When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? Matthew 19, verse 25. To condemn wealth is not everybody's task. Only those who have knelt down before God, beside the owner of that wealth, can do that, and, without desiring to share in his wealth according to the flesh, share in his poverty in the spirit. The disciples of Jesus gave us an example of this. When Jesus spoke about the dangers of wealth, he came to that threatening word of the camel, which could more easily go through the eye of a needle than a rich man could enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people have used this word of Jesus for selfish gains. Indeed, it is remarkable how many people there are who are not affected at all by Christ's words, but use some of his proverbs, which they have removed from their context, and thus violate them, while displaying them in a golden frame to make hay in their revolutionary campaigns. They will tell you that the poor Jesus, the one without possessions, cursed capitalism. He had no good word to say to the wealthy class of people. He dared to expose the offensive sins of capitalism without any mercy. He dared to tell the rich man to his face that he would perish with his wealth and remain with all his gold outside the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, people have gone even further and said that they have exactly this against the present Christianity. It no longer dares to deal as bluntly with the truth as Jesus dared to do. For where are the students of Jesus Christ in this present time who with burning words dare to reproach the rich man to his face? They scorn the Christian who faithfully attends church, saying that he favors the capitalists and because of that avoids the words about the camel, needle, and rich man as troublesome. No, according to these people, there is much more living Christianity in the grossest curses by which the current socialists attack capitalists. Whoever speaks thus has not read this passage very well. For in the first place, it is not true that Jesus scolded the rich. He himself had used the goods of rich people in the service of God. He did not face the rich young man and tell him that it was very difficult for him to enter the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus told his disciples behind the man's back, not because Jesus talks bad about men behind their backs, but because it is of no help to people if you proclaim the difficulty of the entrance into God's kingdom, even before they are on their way. Later they will indeed feel that difficulty, when they are on their way. Moreover, Jesus loved the rich young man, and Jesus was not the only one who refrained from cursing a capitalist. His students did the same. When Jesus spoke the terrible word of the rich man who has more difficulty to enter the heavenly kingdom than a camel to go through the eye of a needle, terror descended on the heads of the disciples. They did not gloat that it was so hard for the rich, and that they themselves were much better fit for the kingdom, but instead were frightened and exclaimed, Who then can be saved? Who? If it was so difficult for a rich man, it would not be any easier for themselves. Who? That is what the people asked, who had forsaken everything for the cause of Jesus, who had left their business and possessions for the present matter of the kingdom of heaven, which was present in their spirits. Who then can be saved? That was asked by those who had distanced themselves from money, who were willing to give up all for a spiritual wrestling match of which they could not see the end, and which did cost many of them their lives. That is what the students of Christ asked. They did not condemn the rich man, they only accused themselves. And when they saw the man of capital, they did not become bitter against him because of his wealth, but were themselves stricken because of the affinity of his sin to theirs. For the scolding expressed against another is often a diversion of the consciousness of guilt which should possess ourselves. and he who unleashed curses at a capitalist, and what is easier than that, declares a war against sinners the way he describes them, but does not declare a crusade against sin as God describes it. The students of Christ did the latter. And he who curses the merciless capitalist and does not come near true and faithful compassion himself, to the compassion which arises from finding the same sin in the heart of another as in that of oneself, will fight lovelessness with lovelessness. He wants to expel the devil by Beelzebub, the ruler of devils. He will never improve the world. For the actual social morality is where disciples of Christ begin by showing concern for a pure way of life in their own life, which they regret the absence of in the rich young man. Real Christianity is present where the question of the disciples burns in the hearts and on the lips. If there is so much for the rich to obstruct his spiritual increase, who then am I? That consciousness of one's own sin does not cause us to shout about people, but complain about ourselves. He who battles Christianity on the authority of left-wing leaders and has never come to the first principles of Christianity should rather keep his mouth shut and go to God. For whoever has never understood or applied this very first principle of Christianity has never yet seen it, if it was present. And whatever he saw of it was only a caricature. And I can only get away from the caricature when I understand the correct relationships and know, see, control, and love them with all my soul. Who then can be saved? That is what a great majority have never asked yet. They are the thousands which have allowed themselves to be fired up with beautiful mottos of world reform, mottos which they have derived from that same Christianity that they tread upon by their feet. But to him who asks it in uprightness, it is a divine word of comfort, for the things that are impossible with men are possible with God.